Alrighty, guys, we're back and we got Russell Brand on the line. Russell, are you there, mate?
I am, Darren. All right, mate.
Hello, mate. Good to talk to you, and thanks for giving us your time. You're coming to our lovely country. You're coming to Sweden, and more specifically, Stockholm.
I'm really excited to be in Stockholm. I'm doing a stand-up show tomorrow night, Saturday night, at the waterfront. I've done stand-up in Sweden before, and I'm always struck by how beautiful everyone is and how relaxed everybody is.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying, right? It's kind of annoying how beautiful they really are. Yeah. I get a face.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I feel like walking through the streets of paradise when I'm in Stockholm.
So what is your relationship to Stockholm? You've been here a few times now, right?
Yeah, I've been there several times. Mostly what my relationship is awe, and I think the reason that the awe is being inspired is because of stringent controls of alcohol, natural physical beauty, and very long paternity leave, which I would benefit from now because I've got a baby, I've got another baby coming. I'd love that 16 months. That seems like a very civilised way to run a country.
Absolutely. You love it around here. You know, all the guys walking around with the prams and all that. So you've got a second baby coming.
Yeah, latte dad. So I want to be it's called latte dad, isn't it? I want to be a latte dad.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's unbelievable. Obviously, I'm not from here. I'm from Australia originally. I still can't get my head around it.
Well, I can tell that, mate.
Yeah.
You sound like you're drinking beer during the interview. I can hear the barbecue sizzling. Even during this conversation.
Well, we're not all free from our addictions, you know, as we say, which we'll get to in a second. But so you're here tomorrow. What can we expect? Give us a little bit of a rundown on the show, because basically the modern comedian, he's the modern day rock star, right?
Well, I hope so. To a point,
that
this show represents a sort of transition that occurred when my daughter was born. It talks about what happens when you get involved in frontline politics. It talks about how power operates, whether it's spiritual, personal power or political power, and how we can be reborn unto ourselves to change our lives and change the world. But also there's lots of chaotic audience interaction. The audience members fill in surveys. We've got 85 surveys from the people that are coming to the show tomorrow. And I go into the audience, I talk to them, people talk about their most embarrassing sexual memories, the worst things and the craziest things they've ever done. The things people admit to, Darren, you wouldn't believe. And this being Stockholm, a place of, let's say, physical liberation, the quality of the surveys is very high.
Okay, love it. Looking forward to that. So everyone, get out. There's still a couple of tickets remaining, so get out there and check it out. And so obviously, you've got your second child on the way. You've obviously written, you've got a new book or a relatively new book, Recovery, out. So you obviously wrote that during the birth and the arrival of your first child?
That's correct, yeah. While my wife was pregnant with my daughter, I was writing this book, but sort of about, in a way it's about addiction. I've been addicted to most things over the course of my life, between heroin, sex, fame, money, pornography, and I've noticed the things that you do that help you to get over obvious forms of addiction will work for subtle forms of addiction. And we're all subtly addicted to something because we're all tethered to the material world in ways that we're unconscious of. So the book Recovery shows how you can change your perspective on your life and free yourself from unhealthy forms of attachment. Like it's a sort of, in a way, a spiritual program that's practical and easily applicable by anybody who wants to change themselves.
Very cool. Do you feel the birth of, especially your first child, you feel that freed you of a lot of addictions because you had to basically focus your attention on a child?
I think that's a very good point, Darren. From the birth, when my daughter was born, I felt in the moment of her birth the sort of end of a particular type of self-centeredness. For me, I've always been quite, I don't know, unconsciously or consciously obsessed with what I want. Now, I'm not obsessed with what I want. I'm obsessed with, well, I'm not trying not to be obsessed. That's not a healthy state of mind. I'm interested in what she wants. And I suppose when you have a child, it's a different way. It can even make you more self, like it can make you want to incubate and hibernate with your family. But I think it's healthy to recognise that your child is going to exist in society, so that you're going to have healthy social structures for it to exist within.
Yep, very cool, very cool. Now, obviously, you know, whether you're a parent or not, and everyone listening out there that's a parent or not, you still have to live your own life, and everyone still has addictions. What's Russell Brand's addictions now? Like, we find, we interview a lot of rock artists here, and we find that coffee seems to be the new heroin. Everyone seems to be addicted to coffee these days.
Yeah, I've got that addiction. I was about to say, like, something more spiritual, like, you know, caring about what other people think of me. But now, it is coffee. Like, I've got, like, a coffee machine. You know, it's like fixing in a way. You've got to get the measurements right. You watch that brown liquid trickling out into the cup. I mean, there's a lot of fetishization around coffee. And I suppose, yeah, I do have a coffee addiction. But I don't smoke it or take it intravenously. I just take it in the conventional fashion.
All right, for now. So,
Yeah, I mean, who knows what the future will bring?
Yeah, absolutely. So, where do you stand personally now in regards to, you know, you're an actor, you know, a voiceover, you're a stand-up comedian, you're a writer. You're obviously coming to town for stand-up, which I guess was your first real love, you know, comedy and stand-up comedy. How does that sit in the Russell Brand landscape at the moment, the stand-up comedy?
I do it wherever I go. I've just got back from doing an HBO show with Dwayne Johnson. You know that band, The Rock?
Oh, yeah.
I've just been with him.
You did the Ballers, right? You're in Ballers, right?
Yeah, Ballers. I've just been doing Ballers. Yeah, I've been getting my arse out on Ballers. On day two that I was working there, they said, oh, do you mind stripping naked on this beach? And I thought, oh, well, God, okay, I'll do it. So, like, actually, on day two, you know, that man, The Rock, he's got a good anatomy on him, hasn't he?
Absolutely.
And I had to strip naked in front of him on the second day on a public beach. But while I'm in, like, Hollywood doing those shows, like, for 6 weeks, I still keep doing stand-up because it's the most direct form of communication that I know. So stand-up to me is the thing I enjoy most. And I did stand-up in Hollywood to prepare for these shows I'm doing in Stockholm and Amsterdam and Oslo because, you know, it was a good opportunity because I've been in England for a long time. And as you know, if you read the news, Britain at the moment is deliberately through legislation separating itself from Europe. So to have a more global perspective, I keep up the stand-up. It's a good way of... Stand-up is a beautiful, beautiful art form because it's direct communication, it's real. You can say really whatever you want and you'll know how people feel about it from their reaction there in the room. Other forms of media, you could accidentally say something offensive. That's happened to me a lot in my life.
Yeah, yeah. So you talked about, obviously, the connection of politics and your stand-up. Obviously, people have talked about you going into politics yourself. Obviously, I kind of feel that's something that you quite possibly will do later on in your life more heavily.
Honestly, Darren, you think I might stray into politics and become, a mayor of a new city-state?
Well, my question was, you know, what are people going to think? An ex-drug addict and all that kind of stuff is, do you think that's what we need in politics now? Someone who's actually really lived the life and understands it rather than these fictional characters that fill our political seats these days?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, certainly at the moment, God, I'm not sure. But like when the President of the United States says and does the things that he has said and done, it does make you realise there's more scope than we'd previously imagined for political figures. Not that he'd particularly be an idol that I'd be pursuing. I do think that recently what's happened is people sense that politicians are distinct and separate from them. I don't know if that's as true in Stockholm as it is in anglophonic countries. But I think what you want from politicians is visionary leaders that are willing to surrender to the will of the people. The point of politics is to distribute power to people so people have as much power and control in their lives as possible. Whereas I feel that we have a politics at the moment that diminishes the power of people in order to serve in financial institutions, transnational corporations, and the will of the powerful. So really what the change we need is, yes, you want people to have personal experience that makes them closer the closer to ordinary, to in inverted commas, people's experience. But the main thing is what is their vision? Because politics could be something that is beautiful again. It could be something that changes the world for the better.
Cool, very cool. So let's go back to your writing a little bit. Obviously, the new book, so everyone go and check it out, Recovery, Freedoms from Your Addiction. But you've written a couple of autobiographies. You wrote two autobiographies before you turned 40. How is that possible?
You know, I've kept living so many lives. I've been living so many lives, Darren. The first part of my life was sort of obviously like anyone defined by, or in my case, crazy childhood, and then the pursuit of fame in my 20s while being a drug addict. And the second one was, I suppose, about what it's like to be a celebrity and not feel like you belong there. Not feel like, I think many people, I don't know how this is in Stockholm, but in the countries that I've lived in, fame and celebrity seem like important things, primarily because of their relationship with commerce and the ongoing phenomena of continued commodification. But when you're in the world of celebrity, when you become a commodity, you realize, oh, this is not about the pursuit of art or transcendence. This is just about selling stuff. So it can never really fulfill you. So the first biography is about my life, again, in inverted commas, in an ordinary world. The second autobiography is about what it's like to be a celebrity. The third book, Revolution, was about what it's like to realize that you can change the world if people, if people come together and look at different ideas. And the fourth book is about the necessity for spiritual change. So all these books, for me, have a cohesive quality, but they're just obviously like any literary endeavor, just one person's perspective.
Cool. Got it. Cool. So we're going to wrap it up a little bit now, and we're just going to say, everyone, get out and check out the show. Tickets still available tomorrow night at the Waterfront in Stockholm. But as I said earlier, it's a musical outlet here, and Metallica over here just got announced as the Polar Prize. You know, they're going to be the winners of the Polar Prize, of 2018.
I know Lars. I've done a film with Lars. He's a lovely bloke.
Well, you called him a little Danish twat, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I said that affectionately, with deep love. The Swedish people understand the term twat, because one of the things I'm worried about when I'm doing my show on the waterfront tomorrow is, do people understand British slang? Because there's a lot of British slang, a lot of British swearing. Are Swedish people going to understand it?
Swedish people will understand more than what you actually think they do. I went from Australia to England for a bunch of years, and they talk better English than I do, and they have a greater grasp of the language than I do. So I think you will be fine. And
well, there's no question about that, Darren. You're Australian. There's no doubt about it at all. And I suppose I'm from Essex, so they probably speak better English than me as well. But what about the slang? Will they understand the slang?
I think they'll get the slang. I think they'll absolutely. I think you'll be fine, mate.
Oh, Darren, well, people should go to russellbrand.com to get tickets for the show tomorrow night. It's on my website, or they should look at my various ongoing social media deluge to get tickets for tomorrow.
Cool, excellent. Russell, thanks for your time.
Thanks for yours, mate. It's lovely chatting to you.
You as well, and we'll see you tomorrow for sure.
Thanks for your help. See you then.
See you, mate. Bye.